Let's just pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you're here. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you that you died for us and that you rose for us and that you're reigning in heaven and that you've given us your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you're living in us today, Lord. And we pray you're going to encourage us, Lord. You want to change the way that we think and the way that we believe. And we pray, Lord, that you're going to give us kingdom mindsets, a new way of thinking, Lord, that we think how you think. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, getting towards the end of the Old Testament. And I've entitled what I'm going to say today as having a kingdom mindset. God wants us to have a kingdom mindset. What that means is that we need to think how Jesus thinks. We need to think how God thinks. And God is wanting us to advance his kingdom. We spoke about that last week. God wants us to advance his kingdom. And the kingdom of God is wherever God reigns. That's where the kingdom is. So when Jesus was here on the earth, that's where the kingdom was. The kingdom wasn't anywhere else. The kingdom was exactly where... Do you want me to go on the other mic? The kingdom was exactly where Jesus was. But it was, so Jesus, if you like, was limited because the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God was actually wherever Jesus was. He was the one person carrying the kingdom of God, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God brought the kingdom of God and put it into Jesus. Jesus was carrying the power of the kingdom. And when he died on that cross for our sins and he rose again from the dead so that we could be forgiven and cleansed and washed, he went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit so that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, could come and live inside of you. So that you could receive and have the kingdom in you. So when Jesus was around, he said to the disciples, "The kingdom of God is very near you." Well, it was. It was literally just an arm's breadth away. Or a hair breadth away. But the kingdom of God today, when those of us that have believed and received Jesus Christ as Lord, is inside of us. That's why the kingdom of God is advancing. That's why when Glenn gave his life to the Lord Jesus on Friday, and Joanna gave her life to the Lord last week, and this other guy, was his name Peter, gave his life to the Lord, the kingdom has advanced because the kingdom has now been extended into someone else's life. And so the kingdom is advanced through people. And we are those people that need to advance, push forward God's kingdom. Does that make sense? And in Zechariah chapter 9, and I'm just going to read this as a prophetic word for us as a church, verse 11. "As for you also, because of the blood of the covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope." You know, the stronghold is talking about a secure place. The stronghold is talking about what it means to be a Christian and trusting in Christ and being in Christ Jesus and him living in us. That's the stronghold. It's a safe and secure place. And we are prisoners of hope. Amen. There's a good prison to live in. And that's where we are literally. You know, a prison is a very secure place. And it's not talking about prison being a bad place. It's talking about prison being a place where we are hidden and secure in God. That's a great prison to be in. We only have a very negative view of prison because that prison is for punishment. But this kind of prison, being a prisoner of hope, literally means that we are actually secure in Christ because we've trusted our lives over to him. We are in him and we are protected by him. And this stronghold is where he is. That's his kingdom. And we are in his kingdom, and his kingdom is living in us. His kingdom is within us. Does that make sense? We're prisoners of hope. And that hope means having a joyful expectation. All our lives we have a joyful expectation. There's just more. There's just more to know about Jesus. There's more to know about his kingdom. There's just more and more of his kingdom coming upon our lives and through us as a church, and through the church in the world. And it says here, "Even today I declare that I will restore double to you." I don't know if you want to receive that one, but I do. It says that I will restore double to you. So if you've lost some things, God's going to restore double to you. Even if you haven't lost anything, whatever you've got, God wants to double it. That's what he's like. God is full of blessings. He wants to help us and prosper us and bless us, not to make us feel good, although he does want us to feel good about him and about who we are in him, but he wants us to be full of blessings so that we can bless others. I don't want to be without. If I'm without, that means I can't help anybody else. But if I'm being blessed, that means I can help somebody else. That's why we encourage people in this church, give. Give a tithe. Give a tenth of what you've got. Give more if you can. Not to make the church fat. I'll tell you, all the money that comes in goes out fairly quickly. But the reason is so that we can bless others. And God wants to do that in our own personal lives. He wants us to be givers. And he wants us to have enough in there for ourselves and so that we can bless other people. And it says here, I have bent Judah. Now, the name Judah, did I talk about this the other week here on a Sunday? Did I talk about Judah and praise? I'm just going to say just for a few minutes, because the Lord just wanted me to remind me to speak it again here. I have bent Judah my bow. That's talking about praise. So praise is like a bow. And it says, I've bent Judah like a bow and fitted the bow with Ephraim. And the name Ephraim means fruitfulness. So it means if we are a praising people, a thankful people, even if you're going right through the middle of something, he says it's like a bow. It's like God says, I'll pull the bow back like this. And it says that the every time we praise God, it's like pulling back the bow. And when you pull back the bow, there's a tension there, isn't there? And that praise, praising God and thanking God in the middle of your situation, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, when you start praising God for who he is over your life and over others, God actually pulls you back like this, and praising him and thanking him gives God the space, makes room for God to come and do what he wants to do in your life. And when you release it, it releases fruitfulness. It works. It will change you from being negative and even inward to become outward and positive, full of faith, when you start praising God. Praising God, I mean, not just saying, praise you, God, but really from our hearts, when we're praising God and thanking him daily through our lives, it releases faith out of our lives, and it opens an opportunity for God to not just help us, but help many others. It releases salvation. It releases healing. It releases answers to prayer. But when we don't give God praise and thanks, because I'm really going through something right now, I'm struggling with something, we all go through stuff, and sometimes it can be like going through hell and high water, right? We all have times and seasons when that happens. The issue for us is whether we're going to give God thanks right in the middle of it, right when we don't feel like doing it at all, and start honoring him and praising him. Because when we do that, when we start giving God the praise for our situation, even if the devil's behind some of it, we give God the praise. We give him the thanks that he's in charge, and he's got all authority over everything, including Satan, obviously. And when we praise him, it releases fruitfulness. So I just thought I'd encourage you with that this morning. And it says, he raises up your sons, O Zion, that's talking about children of God, the church, the people who believe in him, against your sons, O Greece, talking about the enemy's work, and he's made you like the sword of a mighty man. So God's looking for people, looking for churches in this nation to be like a sharp sword that will carry the life and the power of his word and make him real to others. And it says the Lord will be seen over them and his arrow will go forth like lightning. Wow. That's a picture of how God wants the church to be in this nation. That as we're living in his victory, God wants to release his word, his powerful word, with signs and wonders following, and to see our nation turn back to Christ. Isn't that right? To make disciples in this nation, to have a nation full of disciples of Jesus. Wow, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? But that's the picture God has for our nation. He wants to have disciples all over this land that are declaring who he is. And just look at verse 16. The Lord, their God, will save them in that day as the flock of his people. They will be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over his land. Lifted like a banner over his land. For how great is its goodness and how great its beauty. Grain shall make the young men thrive and new wine the young women. It's talking about a fruitful harvest. It's talking about a fruitful season that God has intended for this nation. And if we wake ourselves up, if we stir ourselves up, if God, as God wakes the church up, we can see God change our nation. And we need to begin to get a vision and a picture that goes way beyond how we see our nation at the moment. God wants to fill the church with such people of faith so that we see our nation change, see our towns, see Crawley changed, see East Grinstead change. Why? Because people who love Jesus, who are disciples, are advancing God's kingdom in the way that they live, in declaring who Jesus is and demonstrating his love and power out there where we live, in our communities. Now, just come with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 23. I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning. And I brought that one because in Zechariah, just to remind us that we are a people of vision, we're a people of faith, and God wants things changed. And he does so through people like you and me who have faith in him, and we say, Lord, please use me. Here I am, Lord, use me as part of your team, as part of your church, to advance your kingdom. But to do that, you know, we need to have a different way of thinking. We need to think how God thinks. I don't know about you, but I get challenged about that probably nearly every day in some way or other. Why don't you think how I think? Probably every day there's something where God says, that's not how I think. That's not what I say. That's not how I see it. This is how I see it. This is what I say. And so I'm constantly asking myself, what does God's word say about this situation? What does God's word say about my situation? What does God's word say about me? And as we ask ourselves those kind of questions, it'll help us to renew our minds, because that's where the battle is. The battle is in our minds. And God wants us to win the battle. And I just want to encourage you, what we look at this morning will help you and help us to move forward in this whole area of thinking in a different way. In Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, it says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's part of a little bit more, but I just want to focus on that one sentence. As a man thinks, as you think, as a man or a woman this morning, so you are. So if you think, I'm hopeless, well, that's exactly what you'll be. If you think, I'm poor, that's exactly what you'll be. If you think, I'm sick, that's exactly what you say, well, I am actually sick, but you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay poor. You don't have to stay in need. You don't have to stay with your problem. As a man thinks, so is he. And so God wants us to think in a different way. How does he want us to? He wants us to think according to his word, according to the Bible, according to what the inspired word of God says. He wants us to start reading this and get a grip of what he actually says about you and me. And then you'll have a better understanding about who you are as a believer. You'll have a better understanding about the people around you. And you'll have a great understanding of what God wants you to do in your life. Because he will start changing your mind and help you to think how he thinks. And this is a real battle that we have to win. Don't we? Am I the only one? We have a battle that we have to win, and God will do it by us having our minds renewed with the truth. And Proverbs 12, verse 5, actually says that the thoughts of the righteous are right. I like thinking right. I don't think right all the time, but I like thinking right in the right way. And it says the thoughts of the righteous are right. God wants us to have right thinking. So when we're in the middle of a situation where there's a need, instead of seeing the need, we see the answer to the need. When we see someone who's sick, we see the sickness, but we actually see them being healed. When we see someone who has a demon or a problem that has affected them in some way, that's holding them down, we don't just see that they have that problem, but we actually see them being released from that problem, and God gives us the keys to get them free. So we see them free. We have to see that first before we can set people free. We have to see people healed before we can pray for their healing. We have to see our bank balance is above zero, right? I'm talking about faith now. If it's down there or below zero, we have to see our bank balance higher than it is by faith, and then we'll get it. We have to start thinking and believing different. I'm not just talking about mind over matter. I'm talking about having the mind of Jesus, the mind of God. God wants us to be thinking right, and he wants to renew the way that we think in our lives. So that, do you remember we used to have that thing, there used to be a wristband, WWJD. I don't know if any of you still got those, but what a great thing. Just to remind you, it's a WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, there's another one. WWJT. What would Jesus think? Because in his ministry, he was thinking according to the Spirit of God. He was thinking according to the Father all the time. He was tuning into what God had to say and what God had to think. And so his mind, Jesus' mind, was being renewed constantly because he was always being faced with different conflicts and difficulties. He was in the same situation that you and I face. Well, he was used to working. He worked hard. He worked hard for 30 years. So he knew what it was to work hard. He had relationships with people. He knew what people were like. He wasn't a monk on a hill far away for 30 years and then came out of his closet and for 3 years went around with a halo over his head and did all these miracles. No, no, Jesus was a real man. And he was so ordinary in some respects. He was so ordinary. He wasn't attractive. He wasn't handsome. He wasn't the Incredible Hulk. He was just an ordinary guy. But he was Jesus. He was an ordinary human being, but the Spirit of God was living in him. And the one difference about Jesus, although he looked very ordinary, he had a beard, he had hair, mouth, eyes, quite ordinary. He dressed how the ordinary guys live, how the ordinary guys there would have dressed. Nothing strange about Jesus. He was part of their society. But the amazing thing about Jesus was he never sinned. There was no sin in him. That was an amazing difference. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus knows what it is to live life. My friends, and Jesus' mind was constantly, he was constantly having to go back to God to keep his mind renewed. It wasn't that he was thinking wrong, but he was constantly depending on the Holy Spirit to renew his mind. And we need to do the same thing. We need to go to God and go to the Holy Spirit who's living in us and ask the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, please renew my mind. Change my thinking. Cause me to think in a different way. Come with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and in Isaiah 55, it says here in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Well, he may be found right now. Call upon him while he is near. He is very near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So we need to flee from wrong thinking, from unclean thoughts, from negative thoughts, from deceitful thoughts, selfish thoughts. We need to leave those things behind. We need to put them away in Jesus' name. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. It's great. I've got very encouraged seeing a couple of people come back to the Lord who've been away from him for a long time. And there's the fruit of something that is very genuine about their coming back to Jesus. And it says, coming back to the Lord. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That means forgive and pardon, forgive us. And in verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not, what does it say there? Your thoughts. Just turn to someone and just say, God's thoughts aren't your thoughts. I mean, sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. And the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I, one of the things I prayed this morning when I got up, I said, Lord, I want to have your thoughts. I'll have your thoughts instead of my own thoughts. And if we address this, I tell you, our lives will be changed. Because the Holy Spirit wants to release things into our lives. And if we're not thinking right, we can stop the whole thing. We can just short circuit the whole thing. It will just stop it dead. It's like having a blocked sink or a blocked pipe. It's just not flowing through it right now because there's something blocking up here. God wants us to renew us in our spirit, in our minds, in our hearts and minds. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So guess what's got to happen? I've got to change. God's got to change my mind. I want him to change my mind and my thinking. God says, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So he doesn't want just to leave us there this morning. He wants to say, but you can have my thoughts. In this book this morning, there are his thoughts, right, in the Bible. They're all his thoughts written down. And the Holy Spirit will use what he's written down, what he's inspired and breathed into here, and will breathe it into you so you can start thinking in God's way. It's amazing. You know, a friend of mine, he said the other day, he said that God woke him up 3 o'clock in the morning. This is coming back to God. And he said, Luke, I can't remember the scripture reference now, Luke 17 something. He said, I've got not got a clue what that was. He said, I didn't even want to get out of bed. But I rolled out of bed, went to my Bible, opened the Bible up. Luke 17, verse 9. He who wants to be a true disciple must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Wow. He said, God never spoke to me like that before. I never heard anything like that before. He gave me a scripture reference. I didn't know what it was, went to it, and God said to him, that's the call of God on your life. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. So guess what? He's thinking different. You know that word he's taken, like that's a word that God didn't just speak out of the Bible, but spoke from heaven into his heart, and it's changing him. And God wants to speak to us out of the Bible, and we receive it as his word to us, and it will change our lives. He's really beginning to change as a result of this. It's great, isn't it? That the Lord wants us to have his thoughts. Let's go to Matthew 11. Can we go to Matthew 11? We're doing the Gospel of Matthew study at the moment in our groups. We're on Matthew chapter 12 this week. And last week we looked at a few verses in Matthew chapter 11, but just relating it to what we're talking about this morning. Matthew 11. From the days, and this is verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Do you remember we read about it last week? And the violent take it by force. And I forgot, I meant to bring my other Bible with me, but in the notes in my other Bible, it says there that it's quite, the way that it's written in the Greek, it's quite difficult to translate whether it's what that violence is. But what in the context of what this word is talking about, is quite clear that Jesus is talking about that the kingdom of heaven is full of power. And that because the kingdom of heaven is full of power, force, people that come into the kingdom need to be full of force as well. And God is looking for a forceful, faith-filled people who will take hold of his kingdom by faith, a forceful faith, that will take hold of what God has for them and start living it out. In other words, we can't afford to be passive believers. We can't afford to be passive Christians. We have to be full of the Spirit, full of that, an aggressive faith, right? An aggressive faith that says, I'm going to take hold of everything God's got for me. I'm going to press into his and take hold of his kingdom. Jesus says, that's the kind of faith I'm looking for. So if you imagine the woman with she had a problem for, how many was it, 18 years. She was losing blood. She was very sick, spent everything she got. What does it say? It says that she pressed through the crowd. That's the same word there about forceful faith. She pressed into the kingdom, touched the garment of Jesus and got instantly healed. That's the kind of violence that we need to have as believers. And it says that the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, suffered this, if you like, this violent faith, this aggressive faith, this forceful faith, and it's the violent that take it by force. So we take these things by faith. We actually have to take hold of healing or take hold of God's word. We have to have a forceful faith that takes hold of what God is saying. And if you go to Luke 16, Luke 16. You see, to do that, you've got to have a different mindset. To do that, I've got to have a different way of thinking if I'm going to be not English, all right, but a kingdom man or a kingdom woman of God. You've got to have a different way of thinking. Luke 16, verse 16, says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been proclaimed, and everyone is pressing into it. And that word pressing into it has to do with a forceful faith. Pressing into it to take hold of the kingdom. Does that make sense? Taking hold of God's promises. So what God's saying to us, he says, you've got to activate your faith to take hold of my kingdom. So you've got to activate your faith to have a different mindset, to believe what God's word says and let it begin to, by the Spirit, change your way of thinking. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, because this is the passage that we're looking at this week. But we're just going to just pull out just a couple of verses here to help us to think differently. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 9. When he had departed from there, Jesus went into their synagogue, And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. So I just want you to imagine this morning, there's a man who's had a withered hand. He's got a stump of a hand. It's withered. It's not right. It doesn't say whether it's got fingers on it. It doesn't say whether it's... But it's not right that you can see that this guy's got a real problem. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him, the religious leaders, the religious people. And he said to them, what man is there among you who is one sheep? If it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out. How much more value then is a man than a sheep? Great question. Therefore, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Now, I just want to take you through this morning. Jesus is thinking differently. Jesus is tuning into the Holy Spirit. He sees a man with a withered hand. What's he thinking? Heal him. Do you think he sees that man's hand well again? Yes. Do you think he sees that man completely whole in his hand? Yes, he does. So Jesus' thinking is right. Jesus' thinking according to what God the Father wants, what the Spirit wants. He's up against some other people who are thinking something entirely different. Wrong thinking. And what Jesus does here is he disregards what everyone else is thinking in this particular instance. Because religious mindedness will always stop us from doing the releasing God's power. Religious mindedness will shut down the power of the Spirit. And we're at a time when we need to see a release of the Holy Spirit's power. Religious thinking will say, you can't do it with me. Or you can't do it with you. Or you won't do this. It's too big for me. It can't be done. It can't be done in this setting. But faith says it can be done. Faith says it will be done. Faith says it is done, actually, even before it is actually done. Does that make sense? And God's saying, this is the kind of faith I want you to be living in, but you must allow me to change your heart and mind so that you're thinking in a different way. And so Jesus was living this way all the time. So here he walks into the temple. He sees the man with the withered arm or the withered hand. And he says this to him. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. What's he doing? He knows that he wants to get the man to release his faith. So he's not going to do it all for him. He says to the man, stretch out your hand. He didn't have a hand, proper hand to stretch out. Maybe he didn't even have a hand. He didn't have much left of it anyway. It certainly didn't work. But he says to the man, stretch it. Well, the man couldn't do that. But he could do it. Because Jesus had already seen him whole and wanted to release a miracle out of the kingdom into this man's life. Now you imagine today, Jesus Christ is living each one of us by the Spirit. He's living each one of us. So it means, Jesus said, that you will do the same things that I have done. Those who believe in me will do the same things that I have done. So does that mean that we can't heal people with withered hands? Does that mean we can't heal people with withered hands, or we can? It means we can. You see, the reason we didn't even respond quickly there was because you're thinking, I don't know whether I could really believe for that. I'm not really sure whether that would happen. But God wants to change our minds. God wants to surprise you and me. The greatest miracles and things that I've seen have been things that God did completely by surprise, probably because I didn't really believe that he would do it. And what he's been working on me for some years now is to get into a real place of faith where I begin to see what he sees and have confidence that what he shows me he will do. We need to have confidence, not in ourselves, but confidence in God, that when he speaks to us, when we get something, a picture or a word or a direction, that was from God, and he wants us to follow through. And that's what we don't do. We don't follow through. We get into fear. We start thinking in the old way of thinking again, and we cut across the very thing that God wanted to do. And so miracles are shortcut. We abort the thing that God wanted to do with our lives. We don't step into the thing that he wanted for us, and so we can go through a barren time because we're not thinking as God thinks. God wants to change the way you think. Are you getting the message this morning? God wants us to have a kingdom mindset that we're thinking how he thinks, because his kingdom is full of his reign, and God wants his reign to come through into your life and through your life to others. So if you're reigning in a particular area of your life, you can bring that reign to somebody else's. And Jesus says to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and it was restored as whole as the other. So Jesus' faith was rewarded. And the kingdom of God came through Jesus because Jesus' thinking was right. He saw it in his spirit, right? He saw it in his heart. His mind agreed with it. He went with it. He had the right kind of thinking. And so spirit, soul, and body all worked together. And he said, stretch out your hand. And he got the man to do something. So the man actually responding with his faith. Do you see how this works? And as the man responded with his faith, he got healed. Faith working together. And I believe that for us as a church, we've got a whole basket load of miracles that God's waiting to drop into our laps. If you and I will step out, see what God's, hear what God says, and see what God say, see what God sees, and speak that word of life to somebody, and you see what God will do. Get them to exercise their faith as well. Tell them to do something that they haven't done before. In this case, the man had to stretch out his hand. And as he did, he got made whole, completely whole. Miracle territory, because Jesus was thinking right. Look at verse 15. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, because the Pharisees, the religious people, were trying to kill him. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed some of them. What does it say? He healed them all. He healed them all. Just think, all. What does it all mean? Everyone. There was no problem too big for Jesus. He healed them all. Why? Because the kingdom that was reigning in him, he had a mindset, every one of them can be healed. Jesus had no doubts. He knew that the kingdom would heal everyone. What about you? What about me? When I see people's needs, am I thinking, he can heal that person easily, and that one, and that one, and that one. He can heal them all. Or am I thinking something different? You see, our minds have got to change. God wants to change your mind. He wants to change the way that we think, because it's stopping us from releasing the faith that God's given to us. Do you see what I'm saying? So the mind is where the battle is, and God wants to renew our minds. Look at verse 22. I'll just be very quick now. I want to bring it to a close. It says, one brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. So here's a guy who's demon-possessed. He's also blind and he can't hear. That's a bad place to be. And Jesus sees him. The first thing he sees him. How does Jesus see him? Healed, delivered, set free. That's the first thing Jesus. And it says, he healed him. That's all it says. And he healed him. What did he do? He cast out that spirit, first of all. He bound the strong man. He bound the spirit that was in the man. And then he literally just healed him. Just, I don't know whether he doesn't say what he did, but he bound the spirit and he literally just released the kingdom power of healing into his life. Probably just touched him and said, be healed. Probably it was that quick and that simple. There was no fireworks or anything. It was just done. Wouldn't you like to be like that? But you see, the kingdom of God has been given to us. We have the same kingdom living us to do the same things. Just go to verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. What kind of tree do you want to be? I want to be a good one. Fruitful, right? Releasing God's kingdom. He's releasing his power into other people's lives so that people can pick the fruit, that the fruit of healing, of freeing people, bringing God's word to them, of bringing the life of God into other people's lives. What a great privilege that we have. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're a brood of vipers. He said, you're snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. Woo. To do with the way that we think, it's to do with our hearts, the way that we think, the words we speak. It's to do with what's in our hearts and what we're thinking. So God wants to cleanse our hearts and renew our thinking. Amen. That's what he wants to do. He wants to cleanse our hearts and renew the way that we think. Just going to finish with this. Go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Keep having a kingdom mindset, thinking how Jesus thinks. That's what God wants us to do. Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. We know the story very well, but I felt God really speak to me about it again today, so here goes. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to the disciples, let's cross over to the other side of Galilee. And when they'd left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, which it does over the Sea of Galilee. You can have one of these kind of very violent, sometimes small storms, sometimes quite big. And it says the waves beat into the boat so that it was already beginning to fill, and they were beginning to sink. Okay, this is a real situation that's happening. But Jesus was in the stern of the boat. Where's that? Is that the front or the back? Back, thank you. So Jesus in the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow, and they're drowning. There's something wrong here, isn't there? Jesus in a boat, he's fast asleep, there's a storm, the boat's being chucked up and down, he's obviously a little bit tired and needs a rest, and the disciples are afraid for their lives. I tell you, these are expert fishermen, and they've been on this boat many times before, but they're scared. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are dying?" So they literally feel that their time is up in the middle of the lake. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." He literally said, "Be quiet, shut up." He literally spoke to the wind to be still, be quiet. And then he said, "Be still," to the waters, "Peace, be still." And immediately, it says, immediately the wind dropped and the sea was calm. That's powerful, isn't it? Some of us have seen God do some amazing things with the weather when we've prayed and know it was God that did it. But this is amazing. Jesus' way of thinking was amazing too, because you notice he was thinking opposite. The disciples were thinking, "We're going to die, we're going to drown, we're going to have to swim home, we're going to lose our fish," or whatever they were doing. We're never going to get to the other side. Jesus had already prophesied they would get to the other side. Jesus was in a total place of peace. I tell you, the greatest way to hear God is to be in a place of peace in your heart so you can speak and renew your mind. Jesus' thinking was right. He knew exactly what to do. He commanded the wind to stop and the waves to be still, and peace came. What was that? That was the kingdom of God. That was the authority of the kingdom coming into that boat over that Sea of Galilee. You've been given the same authority. Today. Now. This week. In your workplace, in your home, wherever you go, Jesus has given you authority, kingdom authority, and he wants us to have a kingdom mindset to think differently. Does that make sense? God wants to change our minds, change our hearts, so that we have a different mindset. Let's all stand, shall we? We're going to pray, and we're going to sing a worship song just to lift up the name of Jesus and exalt him. But God wants to change our minds. And then after, I'll tell you what we do after when we finish praying. But we'll have tea and coffee and something to eat. And then we'll go across to the Baptist church. But let's just pray, shall we?